Potvrdil, že to musím stejně.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's my pleasure to welcome you on Chess first half 2008 conference call. Martin Novák, our chief financial officer, and Alan Svoboda, executive director sales and trading, will walk you through the presentation, and then we will be happy to take your questions. Now I'm handing over to Martin Novák.
Good afternoon or morning, everybody, depending where you are. So let me start with presenting our year-end half-a-year results. Starting from the first slide, as today Martin Roman said, actually it is another time when we are presenting results better than before. And although we would like to say something different, we are happy to say the same sentence again. So I will start with EBITDA. EBITDA has increased by 27% year on year to 48.6 billion Czech crowns, which is an increase versus last half of 2007 of 10.4 billion Czech crowns. EBIT has increased by 38% compared to first the two quarters of 2007 to 37.7 billion Czech crowns, which is an increase again of 10.4 billion. Net income has increased by 38% to 29 billion Czech crowns by or 7.9 billion. Return on equity increased from 17.2% to 27.6% year on year. Czech share price reached 1,200 Czech crowns on August 12th. I think it reached 1,235 today. We expect EBITDA to reach 87 billion, which is 16% more than in 2007 for the whole year, and net income is expected to be 48.6. In those two numbers, you can see that we are increasing our guidance, and I will actually talk about it a bit later. So we expect to earn more than we announced last December when we were talking first time about 2008 results. Next slide will show you our EBITDA in graphs, in graphical form. So you can see 2006, 2007, 2008, and we are moving, raising our target by 1.5 billion in case of EBITDA, by 1.5 billion in case of EBIT, and by 2 billion in net income. Net income is growing faster than EBITDA because there are some gains on financial side that are not part of EBITDA or EBIT. Generally, the key drivers of our increases is increase of generation volume of CEZ in nuclear portfolio and water power plants, which is compensated by decrease in coal. Then optimization of repair and maintenance, a reduction of other operating costs, successful trading strategy of electricity sales, increase in wholesale electricity prices, and and compared to net income numbers and EBITDA and EBIT numbers in 2007, the increase should be normally higher because there are a few extraordinary charges in 2007. One of them was 3 billion Czech crowns in net income due to deferred tax liability going down due to change in tax rate in the Czech Republic. So if you take this out, the increase is even higher than just 14%. So reasons for increase in guidance, next slide. In EBITDA, 1.5 billion Czech crowns, we expect to make this income or this profit mainly due to higher electricity prices, cost-saving initiatives that kicked in, and higher volume of electricity sales. In case of financial expenses income, you can see there is a improvement by 1 billion Czech crowns from 4.5 negative to 3.5 negative, mainly due to successful hedging of NAP3, which is actually third allocation period starting in 2013, third allocation period of CO2 credits. And then sale of subsidiary, we sold INC Energo subsidiary to MOL, to Hungarian company, and there is another additional income coming from that. Net income is growing by 2 billion due to all those effects. Share price, interesting chart. Unlike all other companies or utility indexes and Prague Exchange Index, CES stays relatively high despite the turbulence on the financial market. We are quite stable stock, so we did not get impacted by what happened to many other companies in the past 6 months. Analysts maintain positive view on CES Group. We are presenting analyst estimates or target prices ranging from anything like 1260 to 1550 Czech crowns, 15 or 1600 Czech crowns. That's you know, where we are today. We are at 1235, so we believe that you know, the future is not you know, the future target prices are not that far from what we will hopefully see soon. Significant progress of CES and MOL alliance. CES and MOL project continues in accordance with the plan, and you know, assumption from preparatory phase are continuously being fulfilled. So, of last actually development is that in July of this year we established a joint venture company, CM European Power International BV. CM stands for CES MOL, and this this entity will actually own both projects in both refineries. Initial projects of CCGT power plants. You know, so what we do, we select optimal technical alternatives. We collect documentation necessary for administrative procedures. Obtaining planning permissions and environmental study or environmental impact study. We would like to. We are selecting suppliers and we will sign contracts by 2010. And commissioning is planned 2013-14. That perfectly matches new carbon trading scheme in Europe starting 2013, when we will contribute to reducing our emission factor. Then next page, new acquisition success, Turkish distribution company Shedas. On July 1st, we won an auction in consortium with two Turkish partners. We will have 50% share. We won the distribution company at $600 million. It is the subject of the matter of the transaction is transfer of operating rights for Turkish company for 30 years. So we will be able to operated for 30 years. Next steps actually that follow is administrative settlement of the transaction and then preparation and signature of privatization agreement that is expected approximately in 3 months' time, and then takeover of the company. Realistically, we expect that by the end of the year we should have the company in our portfolio. Just the key facts on a Turkish company. It's in a very industrial region. Electricity sales 8 terawatt hours, number of customers 1.3 million, and share of industrial customers is 50%, and that's a very high number. So it's industrial region of Turkey with very good parameters. Turkey is a very interesting market for us, namely because of the population, demographics. Demographics is completely different compared to old Europe, I would say, or Europe in general, with more than 50% of population being younger than 20 years of age, which is something that contributes to fast electricity consumption and growth of economy itself. Other foreign acquisitions. In Albania, we are actually the privatization of distribution company called Cash was launched. We entered a tender and due diligence is proceeding. Preliminary deadline for submission of bid is September 2008. In Albania, the one who wins the privatization will actually control entire country because there are no other distribution companies. So that's very interesting territory for us. Slovakia, feasibility study is finished for U.S. Steel Košice power plant, and further negotiations are going on. Romania, we are still waiting for reopening of negotiations in Cerná Voda nuclear power plant, and the selection of a winner in tender of a power plant, which is a gas-fired power plant in Galatz. Then a few slides are actually showing information about Poles' talking about stereotypes about chess group in 2008 versus the reality. This part of presentation is mainly aimed at general public when chess actually selected the rating or polling agency CVVM that was selected by the journalists as the most reliable, and we did a very thorough questioning of people, or they did very thorough questioning of about 1,066 respondents to find out what they think about chess and what we actually really do. So I will go through this very quickly, as a matter of interest. So myth about electricity prices. So I would say that 15%, as you can see, of people say that we are the most expensive in the Czech Republic compared to other countries that surround us, and 42% think we are more expensive in most countries. Reality is the Czech Republic is the cheapest in the countries that are in our region or are in our target region, like Albania. So even Albania showed here is the poorest country in Europe, and the electricity is more expensive there than in the Czech Republic. So for investors, we can read it also the other way around, that there is a potential of prices moving closer towards levels that are, for example, charged in Germany, and you know that already the electricity today at electricity power exchange is traded at German prices, German levels. But these are prices, really household prices, that are usually locked in a few years ahead, or 1 year ahead, 2 years ahead, when distributors buy 1 year or 2 year contracts. Similar comparison for Czech electricity prices compared to European countries. Again, many European countries, you can see Czech Republic being really towards the end of the tail of the graph, and with a potential of moving left. Position in the Czech electricity market, monopolist versus non-monopolist. Most of the people think we are absolute monopolist, or at least 98% of people think that we control more than 50% of market, which is not the case. We actually control 45% of the market in the Czech Republic, and that's something that normally happens to every company that used to be monopoly. When the market is opened, usually the share price, the market share goes down, but that's something we can manage in a way that the customers we are losing are those least profitable, at least. Then positioning Czech electricity market, again, comparison to E.ON and Prague distribution company, the only two other distribution companies in the Czech Republic. How is our proposition, how well off their customers would be switching to Czech? So in case of E.ON, basically everybody would be better off switching to CES. In case of Prague, an electricity company, more than 75% or 75% or 86%, depending on which criteria you look, would be better off. So this is the general part of presentation, and now I will switch to financial numbers that will describe how more detail about how we did in the first two quarters of 2008. So on next slide you can see on slide 16, you can see the breakdown of our increase in net income that has increased from 21 billion Czech crowns that we made in the first 6 months of 2007. And we actually compare it to 29 billion Czech crowns that we made for first 6 months of this year. 11.4 billion is coming from from gross margin, from generation, and power distribution and power sales. This is the orange part. 9.7 of which is coming from electricity sales, including derivatives. Another 1.8 million is contributing positively, and it's coming from other revenues from products and services, for example, heat and coal. CO2 allowances take 0.4 billion Czech crowns down. It's 400 million Czech crowns less profit compared to last year, and 400 million on the other side is contributing to fuel costs, so we spent less on fuel than in the past. Then on the right side, from gross margin. We can see that another operating cost reduced our earnings by 1 billion Czech crowns, depreciation is flat, financial income expenses is negative 800 million, and the income tax is contributing negatively 1.7 billion, which is a function of more pre-tax income. So key drivers are high generation from nuclear power plants, and that's a key message. We ran our nuclear power plants at maximum utilization, and we replaced basically coal power plants, saving CO2 credits and also complying with emission limitations. Then increase in wholesale electricity prices year on year, higher volume of distributed electricity and sold electricity, and that's probably, these are probably the main drivers. So now let's have a look at gross margin from generation and trading and supply electricity. So it went up, it has increased by 21% to total of 64.5 billion Czech crowns, which is the increase of 11.4 billion that you saw in previous slide. Main driver is, of course, electricity sales and services and electricity derivative trading, which in total, when you put those together, is actually an increase of 8%. You have to put those two together because, as you know, as of July 2007, the trading of electricity has changed in the Czech Republic, so instead of selling through direct contracts or auctions, we are now selling a big portion of our production through power exchange, and the contracts sold through power exchange, until they are really fulfilled, they behave in our books as derivatives. Therefore, total increase is 8%. Heat sales and other revenues increased by 36% by 1.7 billion. The main reason for that is that we have put into our portfolio ČEZ Teplárenská, which is a company producing and selling heat in northern Bohemia. And we didn't have this company in first 6 months of 2007, or not full 6 months. Then variable cost actually went down. Fuel cost is basically flat. The main reason for fuel cost being flat is that we again ran our production was a bit lower, and also we ran nuclear power plants that are cheaper to run than lignite and black coal, hard coal power plants. Purchased power and related services contribute significantly. The main reason for this drop in actually purchased power is the fact that we sell more of our own electricity that we produce. The market has changed, so now with power exchange being in place, we are actually able to time our sales and to production much better, and we don't have to buy too much of electricity that normally we would sell without any power market being available or online power market being available. So this is very, very positive point. We also don't have to buy at very little margin the electricity from independent suppliers. That's what we had to do before power exchange was instituted, and we were buying it from them and reselling at very low margin. So now it's not there, and therefore there's such a drop in purchased electricity, purchased power. CO2 allowances, there's a little drop, not very significant. The main reason is that in 2006 there was a reserve booked for a possible shortage of CO2 credits, and it was released in 2007 into this reserve was actually put back into earnings because we got enough allocated enough, and compared to our consumption that wasn't that high, we didn't have to keep this reserve. So that's about the gross margin. Let's move to other selected operating costs. Salaries and wages increase of 10%. However, doesn't mean that the wages would grow by 10% at ČEZ Group. The main driver is that in 2007 we were actually changing accounting for so-called social fund, and we released it into earnings, so it was a negative expense in 2007, which reduced our cost, personal cost in 2007. And on the other hand, in 2008 we changed the way how benefits are granted to people. So instead of having a special system of points that you award to people, we converted it into something much simpler that actually became personal cost, and people can use it immediately, and the allocation is for 2 years. Therefore, there is 10% increase. However, it's not the increase in salaries itself, just a way of accounting. Then repairs and maintenance went down mainly due to cost-saving programs and also deferral in maintenance and repairs, so partly it can be a timing difference. Material and supplies and others, you have to put them together because we changed the way of accounting. We now buy materials and supplies through from suppliers that already include materials in their invoices. So therefore there is an increase in others and decrease in material and supplies. So you have to look at those again combined. Then other expenses and income, it increased by 800, which is the next slide, 800 million Czech crowns. Interesting to mention interest on debt, despite the fact that we took much more debt compared to last half of 2007 or first 6 months of 2007, we were able to keep borrowing costs down, so the increase in debt is not that high. Another interesting thing is probably worth mentioning is actually others, which is 700 million Czech crowns in the first half 2007 versus only 150 million this year. This is actually an effect of disposal of minority stakes in companies, and the disposal program was at full speed in 2007, first 6 months. Therefore, we had extraordinary items or income that didn't repeat itself in first half of 2008. Then profit before tax, 9.6 billion higher, or 35%, and income tax is just a function of the profit before tax. So this is what gets us to net income of 7.9 billion, or increase of 7.9 billion year on year. Now, very quickly, we will go through developments in second quarter, so comparison quarter on quarter. There is probably nothing surprising. Gross margin up by 5.6 billion, so this is contribution of 11.4 billion for two quarters. 5.6 is coming from second quarter. Then, again, the explanation in salaries and wages, I already talked about it. Others very similar. So our EBITDA grew by 4.9 billion Czech crowns, and net income grew by 5.1. So out of the 10 billion, or 5.2 out of the almost 10 billion, 7.9 billion, sorry, 5.2 is coming from this quarter, last quarter. Segmental contributions to EBITDA, interesting chart again. Our EBITDA of 48.6, the biggest part is coming from generation and trading in Central Europe, which is Czech Republic, and in terms of generation also Poland, 36.3, 35% year-on-year increase for first half. Then you can see how much other segments are contributing. What is worth mentioning is generation and trading in Southeastern Europe. Their year-on-year index for first half is down on 78%. The main reason for this is actually a Bulgarian situation where the variable cost or cost of hard coal went significantly up, and that's one of the very few places where we are exposed to world prices of commodities. Not owning any coal mines in that area, versus the electricity prices that didn't follow the movement, and therefore our contribution to EBITDA is lower compared to first 6 months of 2007. However, most of this has happened in first quarter, as you can see, because second quarter is 95%, so the drop is really hopefully behind us. Distribution and sales in Southeastern Europe, on the other hand, second quarter, you can see that there is a drop by 27%, mainly due to the fact that in Romania we supply also Romanian state railways that have difficulties with their cash flow. So we prudently create provisions, but we know that the state company is paying their debt. However, However, prudently, you know, they are paying the oldest debt, of course, or the oldest credit, so we have to create provisions for the current debt. Then, next page, balance sheet overview. We'll go through this very quickly. There is an increase of about 71 billion Czech crowns between 1st of January and 30th of June. This may seem as a huge number. However, the main impact is coming from current assets and, of course, short-term liabilities that net off each other, and it's really only accounting treatment of power exchange sales of contracts being sold for 2009, 2010, 2011. So these two actually offset each other. That's another effect that is brought by a power exchange that has been put in place in second half of 2007. And as you know, the power prices on 30th of June, that is actually the balance sheet date, they're on absolute maximums for the future years. This is what pushes up both sides of the balance sheet.
Zavěste prosím. Volaný účastník je nedostupný.
Please hang up. The number.
Yep. So then when we look at assets, our property, plant, equipment stays flat, which means we invest at the level of CapEx. Other non-current assets grew by about 15 billion, which is mainly mall investment. And then current assets I already talked about. On the liability side, again, short-term liabilities I already discussed. Deferred tax liability is a function of higher income. Accumulated nuclear provisions, very same, flat. Long-term liabilities, there is a reduction because of the repayment of long-term debt and also kind of movement into short-term. And then equity stays the same. This basically, we added net income. We deduct about 11 billion Czech crowns for share buyback that continued until the 2nd of May. And then when we deduct dividend and translation adjustment in our foreign subsidiaries, we basically stay flat with equity. Last financial slide is actually cash flow. We generated 27.3 billion, and to make the explanation short, because the on the right side we probably could be more concise for next time, the decrease, despite higher earnings, operating profit, our cash flow is lower, and the main fact or the main explanation is that despite having made 10 billion Czech crowns more in cash, as of 30th of June, we had to push about 16 billion on the power exchange. By the 30th of June, we had to push about 16 billion Czech crowns on power exchange on variation margin, because with electricity prices going up, we have to pay to the power exchange to settle the variation margin. When the prices go down, we get the money back. That's how the trading works. And these are 16 billion Czech crowns. So the discrepancy is 16 minus 10 and 6 billion Czech crowns. Now the situation is different. At 30th of June, the prices were about 90 euros per megawatt hour, which we were very happy with, of course. And we were selling at those levels for 2009 and 10. Now they are back to 77. So the picture is a bit different. We used cash in investing activities of 31.6, which 15 of which is investment in mall, and mall shares, and the rest is actually our CapEx. So from this position, we had to borrow 4.3 billion Czech crowns, which is something that helps to improve our debt to equity ratio that we, you know, the plan that we declared a few, you know, year or two ago. So I think that's all for financial part of the presentation, and now I would hand over to Alan Svoboda to lead us through the commercial part.
Martin, thank you very much for passing on the word to me. I wish a nice afternoon for the European listeners, and good morning to the U.S. Participants of the conference. Today is in a way a special day because I can announce only very positive news on the trading side. If I can summarize in a couple sentences up front, basically consumption is up very significantly. Power prices are much higher than originally expected in all our projections. And at the same time, we are improving our generation mix so that we maximize output from capacities that have virtual zero variable costs. So all that together contributes significantly to the overall performance of the group, and obviously is also a strong basis for improving our guidance, as was announced at the press conference today. So if I can now take you through the slides, starting on page 25, you see more details about the consumption growth. Nominally, the first 6 months of 2008 compared to the same period last year show 4.2% increase in consumption. Even if we adjust it for weather conditions this year and last year, to normalize it, you see that it's still strong 3% growth. And these figures are very much comparable also to statistical announcements from neighboring countries like Slovakia, Poland, or Hungary. So it's basically another proof that the whole region of Central Europe is growing fast in its consumption, and the overall, let's say, worries about recession that we hear in other regions are not affecting this region, at least not in terms of power consumption. And because it's mainly driven by small companies and to some degree also large industrial customers, it is in fact proof that the slowdown in economy is not really materializing in the power consumption. Second good news you see on the next page, where there is statistics on how we improved our generation mix. The most important thing is that nuclear generation went up from 12.2 terawatt hours produced 6 months, the first 6 months of last year, compared to 13.8 terawatt hours first 6 months of this year, which is already today 1.6 terawatt hours more, and we still have under 6 months to go. And we originally planned for 2 terawatt hours of extra production from nukes for this year. Now it seems that not only this is very much achievable, but we see even potential for higher production than originally planned. In opposite trend, you see coal production. That has two reasons. One is we are now again in a year where CO2 is not for free, and CO2 has a real price varying somewhere between 20 and 30 euros per ton. And therefore, we are considering this in our dispatch optimization of the power plants, and some of the plants we operate are better off providing peaks rather than providing base load under such pricing condition of CO2 vis-a-vis the power prices. That's why we are to some degree reducing production compared to record figures of last year, and also we are to some degree limited by overall emissions of the SOx and NOx gases, so that's also something which provides some additional cap on our total coal-based production, but it's a cap where it has very little financial impact because it is capping pretty much the marginal production, which anyway the margin which we can capture on the CO2 side rather than the power side. We have also experienced growth in hydro, but it's mainly due to more rain. But also we have now more biomass-based production, which again contributes to our overall targets to increase the share of renewables in the generation mix. And probably in the near future you will hear also about some other steps that we are preparing to accelerate our investment program on the renewable side. In terms of the SOx, NOx emissions, we have put together a projection that proved that with the planned refurbishment and renewal of our generation fleet, together with replacement of some of the coal-based capacity with gas-based, natural gas-based production, as already announced before, we will significantly reduce the emissions over time. And we are starting from a level that is much more let's say, in line with tough environmental standards than in many neighboring countries, which have not invested as much as we did in the ecological upgrade of the units over the past 10-20 years. But we are now basically going through a second upgrade that is not only going to increase efficiency but also going to reduce significantly the emissions, and we should therefore be ahead of the tough targets that are already valid or will be imposed on the generation going forward. There is one issue that we are addressing with the municipalities and the regional administrations these days, and that's the management of the emission limits, where both the EU law and the Czech law says that these limits are to be considered limits for the portfolio of power plants, where some municipalities or regional authorities look at it as something that is strictly prescribed for every single region, and optimization across regions is something to be reapproved again. And that has led to some administrative procedures that were initiated in several of the regions across the country, and we now wait for clarification and for, let's say, final approval of what we consider to be a very clear case for us as basically an optimization task to be managed by the company rather than by the authorities. Because if this would not be possible to manage, chances are that some supply of heat or some other ecological effects will happen, and that's definitely not the intention of the law, both on the European and Czech level. Another thing to be mentioned today is the forward sale of our generation. As already announced last year, driven by the establishment of the Prague Energy Exchange, we adopted a common practice among utilities, and that is to forward hedge generation by forward selling more than 1 year ahead. We have put together a risk set of risk limits within which the traders have freedom to decide how fast and how much they sell forward, and it proved to be very effective measure because now when prices went up, we are accelerating our forward sales and therefore benefiting from the very high prices, even the super high prices of 90 euros, which were on the market for a while. You see now that we are 60 to 65% sold from our own generation for 2009. Now the base for this percentage is not the total production, but it's the total production minus what the tariff-based customers typically consume, because the tariff-based customers will stay with us most likely, and it's not discretionary supply, it's something where we are obliged to supply them. So that's about 15 terawatt hours that we are taking off the total before we calculate a percentage of how much we sell forward from the, let's say, discretionary production. From this chart you see that compared to similar statistics we have published about half a year ago, that we started to sell also more for 2010 and for 2011, where prices which ranged from 70 to almost 90 euros are already for us quite attractive prices, especially given the fact that our cost base is very stable, virtually stable for the nukes, and very, let's say, slow growing for the lignite-based production, where we are buying the coal mainly driven by inflation and only to a small degree driven by cost of power prices. And another interesting statistics is on page 30, where you see that because of the strong growth in consumption and to some degree also because of reduced production of the total fleet in the Czech Republic, the amount of exports is going down. It's going down very significantly, and what's remaining is mainly exported to Slovakia and further southeast. So the export to Germany, which used to be a very significant and prevailing figure on the chart, is now reduced just to 1.7 terawatt hours, and Slovakia already went up to 2.1 terawatt hours. Now, if you multiply these figures by two, just to get a rough estimate, if you just extrapolate till the end of the year, you see that exports will be down to something like 8 terawatt hours total, which confirms that even Czech Republic is losing its benefit of being, say, oversupplied, and therefore also our investment plans that we are putting together for the whole region, not the Czech Republic, are becoming very significant for us. On the last two pages, maybe just a quick note on the fact that due to the very fast-growing power prices for end users, we are trying to, let's say, take off the burden from them, from the customers a little bit by helping them to save on power consumption, by buying more efficient appliances, by managing better their consumption habits. At the same time, this is also helping to use the energy in a more efficient way in the, let's say, global scope, which is our contribution to the sustainability of sector, and also we believe this is helping us to keep good relations with our customers, and therefore it's a program into which we invest a significant amount of money and effort on top of normal advertising of our products and services. And you see some pictures from the roadshow that was just concluded a few weeks ago on the last chart. And I believe with that we are ready to take questions.
Thank you, Seth. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question at this time, please press the number 1 on your telephone keypad. To cancel the question, just press the hash or pound key. Once again, it's the number 1 to ask a question and the hash or pound key to cancel. There will be a short silence while participants register for questions. Our first question comes from the line of Matija Gergolev. Please go ahead, announcing your company name and location.
Yes, good afternoon. It's Matija Gergolev from Goldman Sachs in London. I have three questions. The first one is for Alan on the forward hedging. If basically, looking at the chart on page 29, so if you can just confirm, so you said for 010 and 011, you have sold forward at prices between 72 and 90 euros. And then specifically on 2009, if you can give us some indication on both what kind of price you have achieved and also what kind of price do you expect for the 15 terawatt hours, which will be at regulated tariffs. The second question would be on M&A, if you can give us your latest update about your thinking about investments in Russia. And the third one, for the CFO, if you can give us a little bit of guidance for the net debt at year-end. I believe you have the dividend payment in the third quarter, but you can also tell us what you expect for CapEx for the full year, so to help us to get to your net debt at year-end. Thank you very much.
Okay, I'll start with question number one, pointed to me. What I said is that the net incremental to this chart presented about half a year ago, it was basically represents the volume sold at the 70 to 90 euro price level. That means basically everything for 2011 and about 20 to 25% for 2010, I believe it's. It used to be 5 to 10% locked in, and now it's 25 to 30. For 2009, we have sold about extra, I believe, 5 or 10% the rest was locked in already in the past. About 12 terawatt hours we sold to other traders through the exchange as the second year of the compound, and additional 10 terawatt hours we sold already to our individual customers before the price spikes happened. So pretty much at prices that range between 60 and 70 euros per megawatt hour baseload equivalent. The 16 terawatt hours of 15 for the tariff-based customers, there actually we have to basically take just the baseload part from it, which is about 12 terawatt hours. That 12 terawatt hours we contracted through our sales company from our own fleet, also as compound product. So we are also going to deliver this to the customers priced at the compound level. But the compound was contracted in Czech crowns, so at much better exchange rate than prevailing than today. If you would take now a euro equivalent of that, it would be about 62, 63 euros, euro equivalent at which the price is locked. So also not a bad rate, especially considered that this was this is a deal closed already a year ago. I hope that gives a little bit more clarity to the forward sales.
Yes, thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Roland Besser. Please go ahead, announcing your company name and location.
Operator,
I think there were two more questions actually from Mattia.
Sorry, so, no problem, sir.
So I will answer, you know, M&A in Russia. Regarding Russia, we are working on a project of gas or CCGT power plant together with authority of Moscow or government of Moscow. The project is moving ahead within a defined time frame. So that's, I think, the key initiative that we are after. I believe it's somewhere at 660 megawatt installed capacity. So that's where we are. Regarding our net debt guidance or what we would like to see. So as you know, you are correct pointing out that we will pay dividend. We actually paid a dividend already, a dividend of 21 billion Czech crowns, which is 40 crowns per share, except 10% that we hold because we, of course, you know, don't pay ourselves. And looking at our projections, our latest projections, we would expect to move. Now we are at 1-to-1 net debt to EBITDA, and we would like to, it looks like we will be moving towards 1.3 net debt to EBITDA by the end of the year. And this is a function of CAPEX and payment for Turkey and maybe some other projects. Our CAPEX for this year is 39 billion Czech crowns. So that's just to give you a magnitude of where we are. Mainly coming from refurbishment of our coal-fired portfolio in the Czech Republic.
Very clear. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
The next question comes from the line of Roland Besser. Please go ahead, announcing your company name and location.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. It's Roland Vetter from Copia Capital in Chicago. I have 2 points that I would like to have your opinion on. The first one, on the derivatives that you said it should be taken together with power. Should we understand that the gains that you have in the first half, about 4 billion Czech krona, is something which is sustainable because it's just contracts that are locked in but booked under derivatives? The second one on carbon dropped quite significant and you went down to 22 euros per ton. In the past you have bought carbon when it was very cheap. Have you also benefited from that price? And maybe can you also give us your view on the carbon price outlook if you have one? And a quick one, final one on financing cost. What is your current financing cost on new debt if you would raise that today? Thank you.
Martin, you want to start or should I?
Yeah, maybe you can start, Alan, and dive.
Okay. The first is the carbon trading. We have purchased several million tons of carbon credits as hedging against our exposure starting 2013. These were purchased at prices, some of them even below 20, some at basically 20, 21 euros per ton, so still below the current prevailing prices. We did not sell them back to the market at higher prices of last month because this is a long-term hedge. In fact, we are now using the opportunity of relatively low carbon prices again to strengthen the hedging that is buy more credits, and we look for accounting treatment of these trades so that it does not influence the running years in a volatile way, because this is not a speculative trading. This is in fact long-term hedging that that we are creating by that. We also moving forward with our procurement of CR credits. Some of the elite acquisitions were made at very low prices. Lately, we focused more on spread lock, that is locking in the spread between CRs and EU ETS, which went to up to 10 euros. Now it's very thin again. So this is another activity that we are undertaking to both create some additional margin and in a way also hedge against the tightening CO2 policy coming up in the third period. And on the derivatives, Martin might comment in more detail on the accounting treatment of what we do, but basically the volume increase is a logical result of our market-making role on the Prague Energy Exchange, where we started to trade much bigger volume than what is just our own production, and we also became very active on some of the other cross-border trading platforms, and therefore growing fast the total volume, where in an accounting way we distinguish between the traded volume from electricity purchased and sold again as financial products, that is derivatives, and electricity produced and delivered physically.
But does it mean that these benefits, these profits, are sustainable?
You know, yes. You know, I will maybe add to it. So when we look at the slide 17, really the increase in electricity is combined from 1.8 in the billion, that is electricity sales and services, then the derivative trading net of 3.6, and then lower purchased power of 4.1, which totally is 9.7. And yes, this is the different way now of accounting for it. Before there was a power exchange, we were not able to sell electricity in advance or ahead, and really you only signed the contract, but until it was fulfilled you really couldn't do anything with it. Now when you enter into the position and sell the electricity on power exchange, immediately it appears in your books. So out of those almost 4 billion Czech crowns, 3.6 billion Czech crowns, what is locked is something like, I would say, close to a little bit below 3 billion Czech crowns that's locked in, and the rest is real mark-to-market revaluation. But big part of it is locked. Then there was actually financing cost question. So now when we look at our financing cost question, financing cost, we are combined well below 5% on our debt. Our bond that was issued in July of this year, 600 million euro or close to $1 billion, was actually priced above 100 basis points above swaps, interest rate swaps. So that's of course, you know, consequence of the turbulence on the financial markets. But we didn't have an issue of placing it, which is a good news. It's a 6-year bond.
Thank you very much for your answers.
The next question comes from the line of Tania Maklov. Please go ahead, announcing your company name and location.
Yeah, good afternoon. It's Tanja Makler from Morgan Stanley in London. And I have a very simple question on your guidance for the full year. When you say you expect 65 billion Czech koruna in EBIT, and you achieved already 38% increase in EBIT for the first half, this was would mean that you only expect 5% EBIT growth in the second half. And I'd like to know if you have anything specific in mind that would cause such a large slowdown in the growth rate in the second half compared to the first half.
So I would answer, you know, and people many times ask this question because, you know, for simplicity, you would tend to multiply whatever you saw in the first 6 months by two and get to full year. Unfortunately, it's not the case. And there is really big seasonality in our earnings. It's also important to point out that in EBIT of last year, there is about 2.4 billion Czech crowns of uninvoiced electricity. That is an extraordinary charge that that was caused by the change in method of calculating, or you know, the actually perfected method of calculating the uninvoiced electricity to our customers. So there is something that normally wouldn't be there. So this is the main explanation, I think. And also, you know, there is a big influence also in timing of shutdowns in nuclear power plants. So our nuclear power plants were running at full speed basically for first 6 months. You know, in the second 6 months of the year, when you are replacing nuclear fuel or carrying out maintenance, you have to replace them with coal-fired power plants that have higher variable costs. And therefore, you really cannot just multiply it by two.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
The next question comes from the line of Margaret Cover. Please go ahead, announcing your company name and location.
Yes, hi. I'm Margaret Calver from Harding Loevner in New Jersey in the U.S. I had two questions. The first was if you could go into a little bit more detail on why the working capital burden was so much higher if the liabilities were up, and you said it at one point that they counterbalanced the higher receivables. That would tend to indicate to me that the net should have not shown such a large increase to the asset side. And then if you could comment on currency impacts and what were the major drivers that you expect to see there going forward, that would be helpful.
So maybe first of all I will talk about, you asked about currency impact.
Currency, yes, and working capital.
Working capital. So currency impact, what we did actually last year, the beginning of this year, and Alan already touched on this, we hedged ourselves fairly significantly. So we basically hedged entire 2008 and big part of 2009 of our euro inflows. So we are fairly insulated from the negative impact. The way hedge accounting works, it works the way that now the gains from the hedge accounting are stored, I would say, in equity, and they will be released from equity to earnings when the real euros start flowing on our bank account from the electricity being delivered. So that's currency impact, and we were really, you know, happy with doing that because the crown has strengthened against euro and dollar the most out of all world currencies in past few months. So that was a good thing. Then liabilities and assets. Again, you know, as I said, this is really a method of how things are booked, and it pushes up your liabilities, it pushes up your assets. That's the basic explanation. You know, I don't have the detail to compare, every single billion. But maybe, you know, if you give me a few minutes, I will actually verify this information.
Okay. If maybe we could discuss it offline.
We can. Yeah.
In a conference call. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Simon Flowers. Please go ahead, announcing your company name and location.
Yeah, good afternoon. First question is just on to revisit the 12 terawatt hours baseload for the regulated customers. I think I understood what you were saying, that effective selling price for 2009 is 62, if I got that right. I'm just wondering, what is the mechanism for selling or setting that price? You mentioned that 62 was effectively done a year ago, but into 2010, is there, how will that price be set? I didn't quite follow that. The second question is, in previous, I think about a year ago, you used to carry a chart showing regional prices around the Czech Republic, and you know, with prices in the Czech Republic, you know, in that sort of 80 euros sort of mark, have all the regional prices in Hungary and Bulgaria, etc., are they still at a premium to the Czech Republic price? Those are my two questions. Thanks.
All right. Let's start with the 12 terawatt hours. There, basically, the price was set at the time when the two-year compound product was traded on the exchange, and we were on the selling side. And the price was at that time 57 euros for 2009. At times when actually the market price for 2009 was about 55, the 2 euro extra, let's say, premium was basically a transfer of a discount at which the power was sold for 2008, where the price for 2008 was fixed, and was fixed a couple of euros below the market price. The reason why I say that 57 now turned into 62 is because we have put this under our, let's say, an own contract between the daughter company that is focusing on sales to end users and our trading department in the mother company. We accounted for this in Czech crowns, and that's the only price we can use to set tariffs for next year. And if we would take now the current exchange rate and would recast these Czech crowns back into euros, you would actually get the 62 euros because the crown has strengthened in the meantime. So effectively, we will be selling power, the baseload power, to tariff customers at 62 euros in this volume of 12 terawatt hours for 2009. The price for 2010 is widely open. It should be market-based price again, but we will not repeat the two-year compound product anymore. You'll basically be locking in prices from the market on annual basis as we did in the past. This was sort of an exceptional case, which is now again useful in sort of slowing down or smoothing the price increases for the end users, and still keeping the market or keeping the pricing mechanism very much based on market levels.
So in effect, what you're saying, Alan, is that the 08 price to regulated customers was sort of sub-market, and the 09 was, you know, almost above market, and going forward beyond 09, be more in line with market.
That's right. In 2000, back a year ago, it looked like basically providing a discount for 2011 would 2008 would be basically taken at the expense of the year 2009. But prices moved up in the meantime, so the prices locked in for 2009 as well are now actually somehow below the market. But we are not pushing for recasting those prices to market levels because it will be too much of a burden for the end users to carry it. But we rather support the principles such that these are market-based prices, and therefore that gives us good trust that when it comes for 2010 year and prices will be then 70 or 75 euros, we will be able to charge it, because there is no other than market-based mechanism in place.
Okay.
and you ask about regional prices, there basically what happened in the meantime is that Czech prices fully converged to German levels, also driven by the continuing decrease of the overcapacity in the Czech Republic, and because traders just accepted as a fact that the Czech market is in fact linked to the German market through all the arbitrage opportunities there. So that that is now basically clear for all types of products traded on the exchange and on the OTC markets. Slovakia trades at some premium, even though the interconnection there is still strong enough so that the premium is just, €2-3. Next year it might be more because another nuclear unit will be shut down in Slovakia, and Hungary keeps trading at well above the Central European levels. The premium there is €5-10, and that's also the case for the Balkan countries, but the volume traded there is not very big because most of the production from state-owned utilities is kind of a direct pass-through to end users at prices that do not reflect the market. So only smaller or minority part of the volume in the Balkan countries is traded through the market, and there you can really see premiums over Central European prices because of the shortage.
Understood. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Chris Rogers. Please go ahead, announcing your company name and location.
Yeah, hi, it's Chris Rogers at JP Morgan in London. Two questions, if I may. Firstly, could you indicate how much income you expect to get from your Turkish investment in due course? And secondly, I know you don't want to give prices for the three potential acquisitions you mentioned on page 9 of the presentation, but perhaps if you could give a quantum for how much altogether they might come to if you were successful in all of them, just to try and quantify what your potential extra outgoings on investments might be, that would be very useful. Thank you.
So I would start with the first question. Regarding Turkey, of course, you know, this year we don't expect any income from Turkey because we just settled the transaction towards the end of the year only. Given the fact that it's a standard distribution company, for Turkey we would expect a standard distribution WACC as a return on our investment, with probably higher income at the beginning, or higher WACC at the beginning, and maybe reducing WACC in the future years as the market matures and Turkey matures as well. So in this respect, of course. Then second, I would really looking at Albania, Slovakia, Romania. I could really, cannot really give you any precise number now, but it's fairly simple to calculate it when you look in Albania, number of customers, and multiply it by a certain amount of euros per head that is normally paid in these territories. Slovakia, depending, if you are talking about 200 megawatt power plant or more, can be reasonably assessed. And Romania, it's about 800, I believe 800 megawatt CCGT. So the magnitudes are, I think, in hundreds of millions of euros per case.
That's great. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Christopher Coupland. Please go ahead, announcing your company name and location.
Yeah, thank you. It's Chris Coupland here from Credit Suisse in London. Just wanted to get back to your production and output numbers that you've published for the first half. Can you confirm that you are still targeting for the full year 28 terawatt hours for nuclear? Because you obviously mentioned the first half was a record half in terms of output, but I just, on a gross basis, it means to me that you're on track to meet 28 terawatt hours, or do you expect more for the second half or less? And if you could also comment on coal, I think initially you targeted 34 terawatt hours for the full year. And finally, maybe make a comment on the hydro availability. First half looked quite good. How do you look at the second half for this year? Thank you.
Okay, with regard to nuclear, yes, we are still targeting the 2 terawatt hour increase year on year. That is about 28 or slightly below 28, but close to that. Obviously, we have to take into consideration the scheduled shutdowns for fuel replacement, so we cannot just project the first half of the year, but we are sort of on track to meet that target, as I said at the beginning of the presentation. Coal, there deliberately we are going down with the production, one, to optimize against CO2, two, also to sort of comply with some of the SOx and NOx limitations, but this has very little impact on the margin compared to the positive upside we have from the nuclear increase in the production. Hydro, this is, you know, that's very hard to predict. That's, you know, how much rain we expect. These are all Run River reservoirs. So the forecast we use is basically normal year forecast, which would give us much more conservative figures for the next half a year. But the total volume is actually not that significant to really represent a big difference in the gross margin from the whole fleet.
Sure. Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Luisa Musategui. Please go ahead announcing your company name and location.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. This is Luisa Musategui at Cygnus Asset Management in Madrid. Most of my questions have been answered, but I have an additional one. When you state your guidance for this year, you sound pretty optimistic on everything, but when I look at the guidance, it seems more moderate. Have you changed your expectations for H2, or have you just taken the actual versus expected? Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, so my question was, have you changed your expectations for the second half versus what you had before, or have you just adapted the actual first half to change your guidance?
So Luisa, you know, I think we really took into consideration the successes of first half, and obviously, you know, our guidance is reflects this fact. I would say that we may be changing our guidance again in the future, but for now it is where it is. And you know, our company, we are usually, you know, we don't want to be on the non-conservative side in these things, you know, as everybody else.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of Matthias Heck. Please go ahead, announcing your company name and location.
Good afternoon. Most of my questions have been answered as well. I have just a final one for you. Regarding your currency hedge and your forward hedging policy on the electricity wholesale market, when you are selling electricity forward for the next years in euro terms, when exactly, if any, do you hedge and convert the hedging proceeds into Czech koruna, or do you leave it in euro terms upon delivery?
What we do, you know, I would speak about, I would try to answer the question about currency, but it's basically reflecting the same with electricity. Obviously, what we do, we try to match our hedging for, you know, electricity forward contracts. So we are trying to do the same with currency. So they basically copy each other. In our earnings, most of the hedges, I would say a vast majority, is accounted for as using hedge accounting, which means that really the benefit of the hedge is released into earnings of the year when we physically deliver electricity and collect euros. So that's about the timing, you know, about the curve, the speed. You know, when you look at the curve of the sales of electricity, it very much is similar to the curve of sales of euros or hedging euros. Okay.
The next question comes from the line of Ludo Schumacher. Please go ahead, announcing your company name and location.
Good afternoon, Ludo Schumer from Dresdner Cloud in London. Just two quick questions. One is coming back to the hedge ratios you have. And in the March equity presentation, you gave an average achieved price for those volumes. Could you potentially do the same for the 09 volume? I mean, obviously the price, the average price you gave in March was 57 euros. This should have risen somewhat. Are you in a position to disclose those numbers? And the second question is just more general. It's on the impact of the LCPD. Have you actually seen a change in the market behavior, i.e. is a lot more coal capacity being withdrawn in the markets and where you are active? Are they getting a lot tighter at the moment, or is it still early days?
Well, if I can try to answer, with regard to the forwards of electricity, what we are trying to do, and that's basically the target for traders, is to maximize the revenues in euro terms, and hedging comes on top. So hedging is the strategy of the Treasury Department within some risk limits. The fact that I quoted this translation of 57 euros into 62 is just on one single transaction where basically the hedging turned out this way, but every single transaction has its own sort of euro result and Czech equivalent result. And as Martin said, the Czech result is locked in at the same time when the euro deal happens, unless traders want to take, I mean, the trade treasury people want to take some kind of a position within some risk limits for them. In general, it means that most of our 2008 and 2009 euro sales were hedged at exchange rates much better than what are prevailing on the market today. And we also mentioned today that big portion of this positive result on hedging is actually reflected in the OPEX. I mean, in the operational part of the P&L, and only minor part of the hedging, which is not directly linked to specific transactions, but represents some kind of a macro hedge of all the other exposures. That's something that's reflected in the financial part of the P&L.
Okay, but you're not disclosing an average achieved price of the volume sold so far?
No, not more than what I said at the beginning when I was questioning
okay.
about the forward sales.
Just fine.
So maybe I can add just to extend of the currency hedge, you know, how much is actually in our equity. So the effect of our currency hedge that is in our equity is about 10 billion Czech crowns. So that's something that that will materialize itself in the future into earnings.
Okay. And the impact of the LCPD, have you noticed markets getting tighter?
Sorry, impact of what?
The large combustion plant directive, which generally leads to, of course, a lot of withdrawal of coal capacity. And have you already seen markets getting a lot tighter with coal capacity being withdrawn more than usual?
That might be one of the factors that led also to, let's say, accelerated increase in the overall regional price levels, because coal-based capacities used to be the marginal price-setting unit, so now we might see a little bit more often the gas-fired capacities taking over that role. But overall, I would say it's not a situation where you would see large volume of generation disappearing from the market, let's say overnight. It's more an issue to be addressed similar way as we are addressing it in our Czech fleet, that is making sure that not only we increase efficiency and improve the CO2 emissions, but also that we manage the SOx and NOx compliance with the current prevailing legislation and the one that is now being debated in EU with regard to further strengthening going forward.
That's great. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Brang Baring. Please go ahead and answer your company name and location.
Hello. A follow-up question on hedging, please. If I understand correctly, some of the hedging is realized in the operating margin, and then a portion in the financial line. So, if the crown is going to stay at the current levels around 24 to the euro in the second half of this year, do you expect to be seeing a similar strong hedging gains in the financial line in the second half of the year? Thank you.
Oh no, you know, the financial part that is actually in our financial earnings is mark to market, so we would not see any additional benefit. You know, if it stays where it is, it stays where it is. You know, no change.
Okay. And that 10 billion hedging gain that you have in equity right now, over what kind of a time frame does this get released? Could you maybe split that up between 2008, 9, and 10? How much of that will be released? And I assume it's going to be released in the operating margin.
If majority is 2009, then a little, you know, then less in 2010, and very little part 2011.
And
2008, the part that is attributable to 2008 is already in our guidance.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's the number one to ask a question, and the hash or pound key to cancel. So we appear to have no further questions at this time. I hand the conference back to you.
Okay, thank you everyone for participating. If there are some unresolved questions, please contact myself at Investor Relations. You'll find our my contacts on the website. And thank you again for participation.
Thank you, bye-bye.
Thank you, bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation today. This concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.